You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello and a very warm welcome to the William Hill Golf Podcast as we're looking ahead to the first major of the year. The 81st Masters tees off this week and Dave Kellner is still in sunny Las Vegas, so it's Sam Norris here taking you through the podcast this week, but fortunately we are rejoined by Dave Tindall and Mike Grenham. Good afternoon to you first of all, Mike.
Good afternoon, Sam. Welcome to the podcast. You only turn up for the big event.
Yeah, indeed. Thank you very much for having me back. I think the last time I was on the podcast was during that really confusing one in Australia that's got a very strange format.
Yes. Oh, yeah, the World Super Six.
That's the one. Yeah, that was the last time I was on the podcast. So I'm grateful that this is a bit more simple in terms of how the tournament works anyway.
Yes, for sure.
And Dave Tindall as well. How are you, Dave?
Oh, I'm like a pig in muck, Sam, this
week.
Yes,
I can imagine.
I know we've had this debate before with Mike. It is my favourite major of the year, so I can't get enough of it.
Where does it rate for you, Mike, in terms of the four majors?
I added a little bit on our... quickly Dave mentions that he's been there and he's got a lot of photos of it. He's not going to say it now. I've stopped him in his tracks.
No, I will. Loads of photos.
Oh, we all love it. I don't love it quite as much as Dave loves it, but I love it as well.
Okay. What's your favourite of the year, conversely?
I like the Open and I like the US Open.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll look ahead in depth to the Masters very shortly then. We'll start with a little recap on last week and Russell Henley's victory in the Shell Houston Open. Now, I have to say, Mike, we're going to have to start with you here because it's something of a hard luck story for you. He was towards the four of your shortlist, but you didn't give him the nod.
Henley? Yeah, yes, he was very close. But, you know, Sam, he was 28-1 when we looked at our podcast last week, and that was very short. We even said at the time he's about the same price as some really top players. So, and it was only after the event or in the final night when loads of people seemed to have backed him and all these big prices that I never saw were being revealed. And you thought, oh, if I'd have known that, I'd have backed him. So the early bird caught the worm there. Fair play to those people who did that. But it was just too short, 28. He's a cracking player. I think he could play well this week as it goes. He's a Georgia native, I think.
He's a Georgia Bulldog, isn't he? Went to college there, yeah. Born and bred.
It's frustrating, Sam, to miss him. And actually, my best outside was Luke List, who was placed. So it was just one of those weeks. And my players did ever so well.
Missed cut, was
yes,
it?
Yes. Missed cut.
Sorry to bring that up,
yeah,
Mike.
Yeah, so one of those weeks where the PGA Tour wasn't too kind. But Henley's a cracking player and it's you're going to miss them, aren't you? Steve, we do this, you know, I think Dave's the same. You know, we all bet on the premise that we try and pick value and I just didn't think he was at 28, so... bit different if you got 50s or something.
Yeah, I see what you mean. 66-1 for the Masters this week after a third PGA title and a first since 2014. And I have to say, just before we move on from the Houston Open, watch a little bit of the event and those 10 birdies that he carded on his final round. And some of his putting was tremendous. I think he had eight putts in total that were 15 foot or longer, and 40 feet was the biggest one. The putter was red hot in the final round.
Yeah, he can get hot with a putter, can't he, Russell Henley? Exactly the same as Mike. By the end of it, I thought, oh, he's one that got away. But you've got to think what you thought at the time. And at the time, I thought
he was... Can't back them all every week,
short.
Can you?
Yeah.
You know, he looked short. We discussed it, and he was top of my next best kind of list. But that's...
If people just go for the win, I think at least we mentioned him enough to...
Yeah, well, we certainly did.
Yeah. Gave him a favourable mention.
Let's claim him. Yeah. I'm sure I tipped him.
Yeah. And with that victory, he secures his place in the Masters this week, which we will, of course, move on to. We're paying 8 places on the Masters here at William Hill as well. So if you have an each-way bet, a fifth of the odds will get you place 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 on the 81st Masters. So plenty of value to be had as we turn our attention towards the first major of the year, which takes place at Augusta National as always. The course measures in at 7,435 yards in length, plays to a par of 72, designed chiefly by Alistair McKenzie. It's obviously a fabulously historic golf course. We've seen plenty of players come back year on year and play the course well. Danny Willett is the reigning champion, having caused something of a surprise last year, but he did fit quite a few of the trends. Just before we get into the betting, chaps, is there a particular profile of a player that you like going into the Masters, given that Augusta course form obviously important, and Danny Willett, albeit he was a fancy price last year, he did fit in with a few of those trends?
Yeah, basically a lot of them are just good players, aren't they? He was world number 12 at the time, which I think people forget. I think there was an element of, plucky Brit does well, but he was world number 12. Yeah. So, I mean, you can't say, you know, his chance wasn't obvious. I guess maybe because he'd only played once before, but maybe that stat is becoming... There's the famous stat about Fuzzy Zeller, 1979, the last person to win on their first go. There's a few coming up now who've won on the second. Schwartzel, Spieth, now Willett.
Well, Spieth, second first on his first two outings. Didn't he? Deer was second, I think, on his first outing. Blix might have been second.
So it can. Do you think it'll go soon?
I do, yeah. I very nearly tipped some debutants this week, but I've hung for... I'll mention them later. But yeah, it's a little bit... I think it's changing, whether it's the fact that people get to see the course so much on TV now or just the familiarity with it. But
yeah, I think these... If you're a classy player, I think that's becoming a little bit less. Mm. Yeah,
but there's no doubt, Sam, that the course form is a help. Let's be clear on that. And players who play well there tend to play well a lot. And players who don't play well there, maybe a Martin Keimer or someone who have loads of ability but just aren't suited by it, don't tend to play well there. So course form is still very important. And being in decent nick... it is important.
Yeah, Willett had come third in the WGC Cadillac a few weeks earlier, and he'd won in Dubai earlier that year. So he went in there with a lot of confidence. So I don't think you can go there and think, right, I'll see if I can find my game. I think you need to be on it.
Yeah, definitely. And there's some criteria for type of player that plays well there, I think, as well. I think it's a second shot course, isn't it? But I think the par fives are very important. Tends to be where you get your scores. Although Willett kind of booked that a little bit, didn't he? I don't think he was very good on the par five.
I think he played him an even par.
Which is amazing.
Which is really is a strange if you look at the stats down the years. But it was a difficult Masters last year.
Yeah.
I think maybe when you watch the highlights, you just see the last round and he shot 67 and you thought, there's your normal Masters. But for the first three rounds, it was really windy. Yeah. And, you know, he finished minus five. That's what he shot in the final round. Yeah. So he made all his score on that last day. And minus five, that winning score was the highest since Zach Johnson won with plus one in 2007. So it was a tough Masters. I don't think it'll be as tough this year.
Well, I don't know, dude, because there's thunderstorms for Wednesday, isn't there, in Augusta, which will make the course wetter, which could help.
And it rained on Monday as well.
Made the green slower, et cetera, et cetera. But it does look like there could be quite a lot of wind. You look at certainly Thursday, Friday could be quite windy, so I'm going to hang back a little bit on my outright bets until I get a better feel for tee times and weather conditions, because it could be tricky, or it could be really easy. You know, it could play really soft, and there isn't a lot of wind, and it's target golf.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the protection of the fast greens suddenly isn't as potent. They're pretty good at Augusta, to be fair, in getting around
that. Getting what they want.
Yeah, and they're pretty good at getting their course dry pretty quick as well. But it's just, there's a few unfathomables, I think.
Okay, let's spin through the betting then before we get to the selections from the chaps. Dustin Johnson is the 5-1 market leader, very much the man in form, and he is the 5-1 favourite for the Masters. Jordan Spieth 15-2, Rory McIlroy 15-2, Jason Day is 18-1, Hideki Matsuyama is 20s. It's also 20-1 about John Rahm and Ricky Fowler, 22-1 and bigger than the rest. Do remember, in the outright market, we are paying a fifth of the odds, 8 places on the Masters. We'll go to you first, Dave. You've got a couple of picks in the outright betting. Where would you start?
Well, I think that 8 places is kind of directing my betting strategy. I'll say now, I think Dustin Johnson will win this Masters, but we've got him at 5-1. I want to cash in on the fact that here at William Hill, we're betting 8 places. Therefore, I think you can look a bit further down. And the one I'm going to go for, and I wondered if Mike would have gone for him as well, is Bill Haas.
He is on my list, definitely. Yeah,
80-1.
Yeah, I like his.
Yeah,
say what you've got to say. Okay. I have definitely. He's there, Dave. If you're there, the list of the players that I consider, and he's got a big.
There
cross
he is. Yes, yeah. Seaman's so, yeah. Big writing.
Yeah,
yes.
But he is. He's been bigger writing. Yeah.
Yeah. He's come the top. Come top 25 the last 4 years here, so he's building a nice bank of form there. A couple of top 20s, exactly tied 20th, tied 12th a couple of years ago. tied 24th last time. So he's building this nice bank of form at Augusta, getting just really comfortable on the course, because he's not very good in the majors. He's got a poor majors record. But he did finally have a top 10 in our Open last year. He put that together with this improving Masters record, and I think he's maybe just a guy who's a bit of a late developer,
he's
and he's going to come on strong.
He's a very interesting outsider, isn't he? Yeah, he is. Yeah. He really is.
He played great stuff in the World Match Play, got to the semi-finals, finished third. So that was a great warm-up for him. Some big family history there as well. His Uncle Bob Golby won the 1968 Masters. And as I said earlier, because I'm a pig in muck this week, I'm watching everything Sky are churning out. And they were showing highlights of the 1995 Masters this morning.
With his dad?
His dad. The one won by Crenshaw.
Yeah, yeah.
And Davis Love was second. Well, his dad, Jay Haas, came third. So I thought, oh, that's a good omen, isn't it? So just interesting that they showed that one. More kind of, less esoteric than that. You look at his stats. Now, one thing at the Masters, which maybe gets underplayed, I think, is you've got to avoid the bogeys, you've got to avoid the bad stuff. People think it's all about making birdies and eagles on those back nine par fives at 13 and 15. You look at how the winners have won the Masters, they've basically made less mistakes than anyone else. If you add up the mistakes, just the mistakes on the four-round scorecards of the last winners, they're basically drops between plus six and plus 10, last seven winners. So that could be, say it's plus 10, eight bogeys and a double. But basically, if your player gets on his scorecard more than plus 10 in the bad stuff, you're in trouble, because you can't then compensate with enough birdies and eagles. So Danny Willett last year had eight birdies. That was the best in the field. Even when Phil Mickelson won, he made the least mistakes, and people would have thought, oh, Phil won that because he was making eagles all over the place, throwing in bogeys willy-nilly. But no, even Bubba, they've just limited the mistakes. So the fact that Bill Haas is second in bogey avoidance this year, I think, is a big thing. I just think he's kept it, he's really learned how to work his way around the course. Great course management. Then you look at some of his other stats. Fourth strokes gained around the green. First in scrambling, and I think they're fantastic stats for Augusta National.
Yeah, very important.
Really good. He's 17th in strokes gained total, so he's got a good game off the tee as well. I just think he's got some really good numbers behind him. Going to a course where he is now comfortable, I think he can certainly get into that top eight, and that's what makes me really pleased that we're going eight places, because I think, he could come seventh and you're fine. Mm. You're getting you're getting 16 to 1 payout on that. Talking off air with Mike, or just before we came in, we do think a lot of the big guns are going to be in that top eight.
Yeah.
But there's still some space in it there. And I think, Bill Haas at 80 to 1 is just someone I really like. Someone who goes to the event in good form, is confident now at the Masters. And I think getting that first top 10 in a major last year
could help him, couldn't it?
Yeah, it's just a little boost.
The one thing that's held him back here, Dave, I backed him in this event before, because his game should be tailor-made for Augusta. He's a second shot player. He's a good greens and regulation ball striking player, isn't he? And he's scrambling ever so well. Has been his par five performance, which I still take your point on the mistakes, but I still think you've got to make some scores on the par fives. I really do, because they're quite easy, some of them, He hasn't played the par fives there very well most years, but last year he played them better, I think. I think he might even have been in the top five or six for par five scoring at Augusta last year. So if he does that again and puts that with his ball striking and scrambling that he's been doing this year, and he is in a great run of form, it's his best chance in a major, I would think.
Yeah.
Probably ever. He's coming to the right age on a course that really, I have always thought this place should really suit him, so I can totally see why you're picking him. And if he plays the par fives well, I wouldn't be at all surprised to see him in the top 10 and maybe even better than that. He was very much, one of my outsiders, if not one of our main outsiders.
Okay, Bill Haas then at 80 to 1. I know you're keeping your powder relatively dry, Mike, until the weather conditions have been sorted out and the tee times. Anyone else on your mind?
Yeah, I'll come back to a few players that I do want to mention, Sam. I have got a couple of bets in the side market. Mm. But one thing to say is that this top eight concession is huge in this event. So this is the weakest field in any major. You've got a lot of dross at the bottom. That's an awful thing to say, but it's the
non-competitive.
You've got players who can't win at the bottom of the market in this merge, and you don't get it so much in the others. The PGA has a few club pros and things, but you look at the bottom, you know, few columns, and there are players there who are either too old or amateurs or blah 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 blah, and it's a small field as well. So each way betting in this merge at a course the same venue every year is usually pretty easy now, when or easier than other events, should I say. And to think you've got eight places as well, it's a remarkable concession. So, in theory, I wouldn't put anyone off back in the first three in the market, because I could see them all being in the eight.
Yeah.
And if one of them wins, you know, you're in clover, and if all three are placed, you're still in doing pretty well. So, you know, that's a great concession, and, you know, people should be relishing the chance to get stuck in. And, of course, that doesn't mean that you can't back a couple of outsiders like Haas, or a couple that I'll mention as well later. But yeah, it really is. It's you know, I don't think Larry Mize is going to be winning, or Sandy Lyle, a few of the other guys down there. They're not that competitive.
Mm.
You know, everyone pretty much who's any good makes the cut, and either crack it over the weekend.
Just quickly on that then, what about Bernard Langer, given that he's 400-1 and he was two shots off the lead going into the last round last year, and then 2 years before that, eighth.
Could he
do something?
He could.
Eight places?
He could. I've got a top senior bet that isn't Bernard Langer, I have to say, but I wasn't thinking of him there. He could definitely finish in the top 10. A couple of them could, but there's other players there who can't. And eight places. Look at the likes of Johnson and McIlroy and Spieth. Wouldn't you'd have to say they've got massive chances to be in the top eight. So you're basically, Dave, I know you haven't picked Johnson, but you're getting your money back if he finishes in the top eight.
Yeah.
That's very appealing.
Mm. Yeah. But that would be...
You're making a profit if Spieth and McIlroy finish in the top eight, and a free win bet, in theory.
Yeah.
You could argue these are bets to nothing. So it's a great offer.
Certainly is. Dave, on to your second pick. I know you've got two main picks for this event. What's the one to go alongside Bill Haas?
Yeah, so I'm again looking a bit further down the market. So I'm going to land on a 66-1 chance. There's a few of these, but the one I like is Brooks Koepka at 66-1. Quite simple, really. He's just very, very good at playing the majors. Just really, really good. I looked through his record. In the last 10 majors he's teed it up in, he's finished 21st or better in eight of them. That's a really, really almost a sort of under the radar. I don't think people would necessarily know that. Three of those are top fives. Also another top 10 in there. He's come tied fourth in the other two majors played on the US soil, the US Open and the US PGA. He's actually got two top fives in the US PGA. So really, really good player in the majors. Quite a simple tactic of his, really. He hits it a long way and he putts well. I mean, and those are two really obviously... very good things
should stand you in good stead
to do at Augusta National. Mm. Now, he's had two looks at Augusta National. Maybe it's just this is the course that might just, you know, maybe just need a few more goes around it before you totally get it. And he was in poor form earlier this year, and I read some quotes by him. He said he just lost his game for a month, but he seemed to work it out in the world match play, got to the knockout phase, came through his group. And I just think, because he's that record in the majors, clearly he's mentally very good, because, you know, maybe I shouldn't really be comparing him to Bill Haas, because Bill Haas didn't play well in the majors, but I think Bill Haas is getting there now. But Koepka's kind of taken to the majors like a duck to water. So I think 66-1. I just think maybe last year he was a lot more like seen as more like a sexy pick, wasn't he? Would have been shorter odds, people would have been looking at him. I don't think anyone's really thinking about him much this time. I just think at 66-1 on this course, he's a Florida guy. You look at some of the records of previous Masters winners, players who are from that kind of southeast bit of America, or the south of America, Jordan Spieth, Bubba, they're from that area. And he's a Floridian. Bill Haas is from Carolina, isn't he? So I just think it could be a really good course for him. I'll be quite happy if it does rain. But he's cut his teeth on the European Tour, so I think he would have handled a lot of different weathers. I think that was a really good experience for him playing on the Challenge Tour and then the European Tour. Mm. I think it might stand him in really good stead. So I just think of all those just kind of below the radar, he's the one I like.
It's
at 66s, yeah.
Yeah, no, I can get that. Brooks Koepka. I think driving distance could be important this week, particularly if the course is wet. he'll play that a bit longer, you know, so how far you can carry the ball will help. And we know that that could well suit Rory McIlroy, by the way, if the courses work, because
he always plays his best majors on.
Doesn't he? Plays well when when it's been rain softened and he can hit it a mile and then dart in the iron shots where the greens aren't quite as fast. So he'll be hoping for a bit of rain, I would think, McIlroy.
Yeah. All Rory's major wins are double digits and better under par, aren't they? So he tends to win the easier conditioned majors.
I mean, Haas is not short off the tee, but Koepka is long, and that could definitely be it's an asset this week. It's always an asset at Augusta, isn't it? It's not the only asset, but he's certainly long enough to contend, isn't he? Of the top, you've gone for a couple of outsiders there, Dave. Of the top three in the market, what would your...
Yeah, well, Dustin Johnson, I do think he'll win this week, basically. But then, like you say, I'd be almost surprised if Spieth and McIlroy are not in the top
in
10.
The mix. Yeah, exactly. Mm. I think McIlroy, if it's raining, that will definitely help him. And Spieth's record here is just amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Second versus second. So that's why I just want to... There's a hell of a strong team at the top of the market, you know, so I just want to get everything in ducks in a row, so to speak.
There's an idea,
in terms of weather and tea times before I jump in, you know.
There's an idea that...
Ducks and weather.
Right, I'm with you, yeah.
There's an idea that Spieth, because he messed up last year, he was five shots clear, wasn't he, at one point? On that 12th, he took a quadruple bogey, hit it into the water, went to the drop zone, then absolutely fattered it back into the water, took a seven. Whether that hole might be in his head, because everything before that at Augusta was all sort of shiny and lovely and everything had gone his way. And suddenly, will he have a few mental demons there? I read Pete Farris actually sent me this article. He sent Spieth had gone back there to play a kind of corporate event in December, and he'd played that par three twice and birded it both times. And he actually said, oh, that's that gone
that's
from my head.
They're mentally strong. Yeah. I wouldn't worry about that at all. I think he'll go very well this week. But he's not playing quite
as well.
He's
not in the same form as
he was. No, he's not. But I'd be surprised if he's not in the top eight, let's put it that way, for those of you who are like backing each way on the market leaders. So he's immense around Augusta, isn't he? So I'd give him a very big chance.
You just look at some of the highlights of his 3 years there. It looks like there's some sort of magnet guiding his ball into the hole. Putting is just extraordinary.
Yeah, you could easily see us sitting here next Tuesday or Wednesday saying,
so obvious,
Spieth won by eight shots. Why was he 15-2 with eight places, couldn't you? He'd probably be the one that, I don't know, but the weather could influence McIlroy. I respect Dustin Johnson massively, but just that difference in the price, you know, might make Spieth my pick of the three. Jason Day is intriguing because his price could look massive if his mind is on it, but I can't get that image of him being so upset at that press conference out of my head. It's so recently, and there's so much on his mind. And this is a tough mental test. You know, it really is, Augusta. You've got to be really focused. So, he plays well here in the main, but that just puts me off.
Yeah.
But Dave, I think Dave Kellner has actually tweeted from the floor of the Bellagio.
Yes, indeed.
That Jason Day's his value there, is it?
Yeah. Jason Day's the value pick for DK. I suppose it could work one of two ways for Jason Day. Golf might be quite a welcome distraction to everything else he's got going on at home, or it could work the other way and his mind's just not focused on golf at all.
Yeah, and if it's good news, Sam, you could argue that he's inspired, and there's Ben Crenshaw and lots of other ones where there's been things like that. So he's the most intriguing one, because 18 could be massive. Matsuyama plays well here. Dave, doesn't he just gone off the boil a bit, would you say?
Yeah, he was red hot, wasn't he, at the turn of the year, then he won in Phoenix. Yeah, seventh and fifth the last 2 years here, and he played it well as an amateur as well. But like you say, I think he got shorter than that, didn't he? I think we've pushed him back out in recent weeks.
Yeah.
He seems to have just gone off the pace a little bit.
I'll tell you the two debutants that I think could go very well before we just go on a couple of other late market leaders, because we've come to one of them in the market. John Rahm, I've had a bet on him anti-post, so I'm kind of cheering him on a little bit.
He's my side market bet.
Is he? Yeah. Well, do you want to say what that is now, as we've got to it?
I suppose I may as well. Well, there is the top debutant market, which I think he'll win.
I've got one player I think might be too.
Okay,
right. Yeah.
But mine...
But he should win, yeah.
Top of debutant betting, John Rahm 9-4, Tyrrell Hatton 5-1, Adam Hadwin 7-2, Thomas Peters and Tommy Fleetwood.
Yeah, mine is even more basic than that.
Top Spanish.
Yes.
That, yeah.
Top Spanish player.
We should only have Rafa Cabrera and Sergio to beat.
Alathabal as well.
Oh, yes, but, of course, yeah.
But that's kind of, you know, if he can't beat Alathabal, then he's struggling.
11-10, John Rahm. Sergio Garcia, 13-8. Rafa Cabrera, Bayo, 3-1. And Alathabal, 50s.
So my thinking is this, right? If you back John Rahm in the outright market at 20s, he could play the tournament of his life, shoot 15 under, get into a playoff and lose that playoff. And you're getting a quarter of, you're getting a fifth of the odds. So say for sake of argument, five each way, you're getting a fifth of those odds. Now you could put that same £10 win stake on him. All he has to do is beat three compatriots. You actually, it's, you know, it's the same sort of payout, isn't it?
Yeah.
And and this looks like a doddle to me. Garcia's got a terrible record. Absolutely shocking record at Augusta.
I don't entirely buy that. It's not his best, but he's got some form here, Dave, hasn't he? It wouldn't surprise me. No, he was 12th in 2012 and 8th in 2013, 17th in 2015. I have in my mind, I know you don't like him here, I knew you were going to say this, I think he might go well this year. I don't think he'll win because I think he might have shot 80 last year, didn't he? Or he had some horrendous round last year somewhere. But I think his game's in good order and his mind's in good order. So it wouldn't surprise me if he finishes top 10 or something, you know?
Well, I think Rahm is basically the world number two at the minute in terms of how he's playing. I think there's only Dustin Johnson playing better than him. So he's got to beat Garcia. Rafa Cabrera Bayo did come top 20 last year, but if you look at how he came into that event, he was on fire. He finished third in the match play, fourth in Houston. Yeah. Nothing like that this year.
No, I accept your point, David. So
I think he's only got one to beat.
Yeah, Alathabal shouldn't. He used to be a brilliant hit. I'm just saying, I knew that you wouldn't fancy Garcia, but I'm going to say that it wouldn't surprise me if he's almost his best ever year here. I just like the way his game's shaping up. I know it's not maybe his favourite course, but I think his form's a little better than you. You know, he's got some good finishes there.
Yeah, well, to me, I mean, you can twist the stat either way. But to me, he's had a fourth and an eighth. That's the best he's ever done at Augusta. I think Rahm could beat that.
Oh, mind having that on my CV.
That isn't too bad.
John Rahm might never do that, dude, might he? I think he will. But
if someone had told you back in 1999 when he was
you'd have thought he was his. Rahm, just to go back before you hijack my John Rahm piece. He's in fantastic form, isn't he? So I backed him anti-post, not a huge bet, but a very big price compared to the 20s. Looks very short now.
Yeah.
But he'll be on my mind if I can see him drifting in play. I think this place could be really suited to him. So I kind of support you, but don't get me wrong. He was really close for me as a debutant, and as we said earlier, I think that Fuzzy Zella start is overstated these days. I think it's more course experience is very important, but whether you've played one or two times, you know, or none, does it matter that much? I'm not so sure. You know, it's more whether your game's suited.
Remember last year, Bryson DeChambeau did really well.
Yeah,
first time.
Didn't he have about 100 practice rounds though before he?
Yeah,
before he started. I know it's not a competitive play, but he played the course a lot for debutants.
Yeah, he had. But Daniel Berger came tied 10th last year. That was his first go. Rahm's a miles better player than he is. So
the other player that I think might give Rahm a little bit to think about in the top debutant market.
There's a few, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there is. Yeah, it's a strong field, actually, this year. And I'm not suggesting having a bet in this market, by the way. But I was even contemplating having a little bit on this guy in the outright, Thomas Peters. I just think Peters is another guy who could be ever so suited to Augusta, hits it a mile, can putt well, and he's a bit in and out at the moment. He was second at the Genesis, missed the cut at the Honda, fifth in the HSBC Mexico event, missed the cut at Bay Hill, but he's shown at the Ryder Cup that this is a guy of some significant potential, and it wouldn't surprise me to see Thomas Peters, you know, whacking it around Augusta and giving a good account of himself. Because once he gets gets going on the greens, he's a very good player. He's available at about 66-1, so I'll be watching his tee time and his draw. But he was certainly a player that I had on my mind in terms of someone who's never played there before. But neither of them at this moment quite strong enough to have a bet. I say I've got a little interest in John Rahm already, so. I think he's a very good player. Dave Kellner drum that one into me and I'm believing him.
Okay. Let's move on to some of the other side markets then, because you have got a couple of bets in some of the other side markets, Mike. Should we start with the top senior player? You've got a fancy in that one.
Top senior player is Freddie Couples for me. He's just been clipped in the market yesterday. The early 4-1, maybe there was even bigger than that about, I think there was, really catches my eye. Freddie Couples absolutely loves Augusta. He's 18 top 20s at the track. Didn't play last year, missed the cut when he was out of form with a bad back the year before. But before that, had 5 top 20s in 6 years, even at his age. Yeah, including a 6th, a 12th, a 13th. Top 20 should get the job done in this market, realistically. And he's in absolutely tremendous form on the Champions Tour. His form figures this season are 2nd, 6th, 1st, 4th. Worst finishing 4 starts is 6th place. So I really think Freddie could give a good account of himself this week. I haven't seen him play this well for a number of years, and at a course where he's absolutely majestic. I could actually see him easily finish top 20 and might even tickle the top 10 if he gets going. I'm going to have a little bet on him to win it, just in case. You know, you never know, a miracle story. I don't think he will by any means. But what I will be doing on is having a bet on him to be top senior to kind of pay for my bets for the week.
First round leader?
I did look at that, Dave. You know, he's about... I was disappointed with the price. What do you think he is before he brings it up?
What was the outrights? 300?
500, I think. Five. Is he 4 or 5 or something?
300 to 1 outright. 300? Yeah, 300 to 1 outright.
There's probably going to be a big drop-off, isn't there?
Well, I've given it away a little bit, haven't I? Yeah, 125, I think he was, which I thought was, you know, didn't make me want to jump on it immediately. But yeah, he often starts well, yeah. And then, a bit like Langer has in the last 2 or 3 years, a couple of times, you know, they're older and it's a bit harder to keep it going for 4 full rounds. But I think he'll give people a run for his money. If you just go back to the market, Sam, thank you. Stricker's obviously a decent favourite, but not quite as good as Augusta as people think. But he's obviously, he should be favourite.
Yeah.
Langer does play well there, but I would suggest that Couples is probably, he's better there and he's probably playing a little bit better. VJ can't put for Toffee anymore and the rest of them forget.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember reading some Stricker quotes a few years back where he said he couldn't get to some of the pins at Augusta. His ball flight isn't right. Found it hard course.
Yeah, I looked at his form figures, Dave, and they're not quite as good as I thought they were going to be. So he had a 6 way back in, I think it was 2005, but not really many other top 10s around that. He tends to make the cut every year, which is a bit frustrating if you back Couples, because he might come and edge you out on the final round. But at 3-1, I think that's a sporting bet.
Okay, in the top senior player market then, 6-4 favourite Steve Stricker, Fred Couples 3-1, the selection for Mike.
Have you got any other side bets, Dave?
I have, yes.
You've got quite a quirky one, haven't you, Dave?
It's in one of the hashtag your odds specials, which you can ask for and get a price on. We've bracketed them in various kind of price ranges, and this one's in the 6-1 to 14-1 market. And it's the one at the bottom of that. A hole in one at the 16th hole in round 4. Now, that's quite specific, isn't it?
Yeah, it does, yeah.
But that is where all the holes in one happen, and that's the day they happen. And basically, the Sunday pin there, it's in a bowl at the bottom of the green. It's a sloping green, so there's a big margin for error on the tee shots. You just kind of plonk it on a certain part of the green, and then the ball just funnels down. Now, you think, right, 8-1, not that many players in it, really. But there were 3 holes in one on Sunday last year, 3 of them. And you're getting 8-1 for just that happening again.
It's a good price, Dave. Yeah, because it looks a good price.
Because that's you know where the pins are going to be. It's not like, oh, this year they'll suddenly stick it at the top. Yeah. They won't. They always stick
it always in
that same place.
Yeah.
So I think that's a cracking bet to get 8-1 on something that happened 3 times last year.
Very good, very good.
And the other little bonus there is the fact, if the weather forecast is right, Sunday's meant to be the best day. So I think people just be flicking up short irons there.
Yeah,
can't lose.
You made a very convincing argument.
8-1 certainty there from.
I've got someone to mention that I think I'll put up in the top 20 betting, but I wouldn't put people off doing this guy each way. Albeit that rascal Mark Adsed and our trading team, they've got him in a little bit shorter than I'd hoped. Lee Westwood is 66-1 to win the Masters, so 50 odds of that to finish in the top 8 if you do it with a win bet. That bet would have come in 4 times in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
His form figures are second, 46, seventh, eighth, and third. So that's relatively appealing, isn't it? So to finish top eight, you'd have cashed in four of the last 5 years. He's had top 11 seven of the last 9 years, or six of the last seven, whichever way you want to cut it. He's very, very good at being in the top eight or nine. Let's not forget he was second last year. His form isn't outstanding this year, but he has had seven top 30s in his last eight events. He missed the cut last weekend at Houston, which might not be a bad thing. Had the weekend off. He's you know, a bit of respite might be good for him.
He did play well, didn't he, in Mexico? I think he was fifth after round three, and then he just went to pieces.
He's playing reasonably, Dave. He's not looking like contending particularly, but he's been in fairly decent form, you know, and he absolutely loves it around here. So you could play this any number of ways. You could argue that the 66 to 1, 8 places is appealing. He's 5 to 2 for the top 20. Well, the top 20, as I say, he's done that 7 in 9, 7 top 10, 11s in 9 outings there. So
it's a big price.
Looks big, doesn't it? His price is based on his chance of winning rather than his chance of being in the top 8. He probably isn't going to win, is he? But because he has never won a major. But it's not out of the question. I just think Lee Westwood should be in your betting portfolio somewhere based on those odds. Find a market that suits you, whether you want to back him each way and think, forget the win bit, but the each way bit's really appealing. I'm getting, 13 and a bit to one for him to finish in the top eight, which he's done, as I've said, without quoting all the stats again. So, I really like him to go well this week. His form's been half decent. He's top 20s. Well, in the match play, which is obviously not a stroke play event, but also he was top 30 in Mexico, Dave. So as I say, he's solid.
He fell away. You know, I think Augusta would have. He played with Danny Willett in the final round last year. I think that might just, give him a little bit of inspiration as well.
He could have won. It looked like he was going to win.
He chipped in, didn't he, on the 15th and got to within a shot of Danny Willett.
I think he's really interesting for this week's event. I should mention, I thought you might mention some kind of slight veterans, but Phil Mickelson deserves a mention, doesn't he? He's been in great form this year, and I was looking at Phil, but it's just so long since he's won that odds of 25s. I don't know. He's still on my mind to watch him play, though, Dave. I know you like him. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, I'll almost have to just stick a five or something on him. I can't let him go off and win. I can't just let him win.
I'm going to have to do that with Bill Haas, even before you said what you said.
Because... Yeah. Oh, he's given me so much pleasure watching Phil Mickelson at the Masters down the years. I had an anti-post bet on him the first year he won at 33, so that's one of my favourite golf betting memories. Mm. So, and he, as you say, you just go through his record. It's littered with top threes, wins, top ten. So, yeah.
Had to mention him, didn't we, really? Yeah. And Ricky Fowler deserves a mention because he's in phenomenal form.
A big chance, definitely a big chance.
Tied third last week in the Houston Open, and he plays all the majors relatively well, doesn't he? I remember I backed him quite a few times. It was 2014 where he made the top five of all four. I remember because I backed him each way in a couple of those. Yeah,
yeah.
He missed the cut here last year though, didn't he?
That was a weird. He shot an 80 in round one, but apart from that, I think he'd come fifth and 12th the previous 2 years.
Fairly progressive, wasn't it?
Really played well this year. You look through his form this year. He's got a win in the Honda. Nothing outside the top 20 in ages. Third, as Sam said, in Houston. He's also good on that bogey avoidance stat. He's in the top five for that. So I think, even though you think, he's someone who maybe makes a few mistakes, but statistically, you know, he's solid.
No.
He's got a good... the guys I've looked at, I think you don't need to be a hothead around here. You need to be calm. Dustin Johnson's almost sort of horizontal, isn't he? Brooks Koepka, nothing gets to him. Ricky Fowler's keeps it cool. I think it's a big thing, Avery.
I'm going to throw one at you just to be awkward, but I was going to mention him anyway. But I think we have to mention Bubba Watson here,
right? Yeah,
who's won here twice. I literally was just about to mention him, which probably wouldn't fit that criteria.
Was it the hothead that's
No, he's on my list. Look, I couldn't not mention Bubba given that when he's on here, he tends to win, but equally, he either wins or does rubbish, and he's not playing great, but he's another one that needs close eye in running if he looks like, because he played all right in the match play, and that could be an interesting ease.
I think it's a place it so suits his game, and if he is playing well, he can adopt that kind of serene persona. But if it if it's going wrong, then the sort of dummy comes out a bit.
And then he absolutely
And then
does,
that's why he either wins or he does nothing. I think
it's a very, very fair point. If he's mentally, if he's in a good place mentally, he tends to play very well. But the left-handers, him and Mickelson, we know that they have a great record at this event.
I mean, Justin Rose is another. I think he's a great bet for top eight.
Yeah.
He's got a really consistent record. One we haven't quickly mentioned, Justin Thomas. Probably one of the talking horses at the start of the year. Had a little luck last year, tied 39th. Again, there's so many of those top 10 in the betting, top 10, 12.
They all tend to play well, don't they? Well, he is yet to prove.
But I think it looks a good course for him.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah, I get that. I'd be interested to see how Gary Woodland will play this week, because he's had his wife, they've had a stillborn baby, I think. So. Yeah. There'll be a lot of sentimental support for Gary Woodland, rightly so, this week. I always thought he with his length, he could play really well here. Just to be interesting to see how he goes in running. But he was on my mind a little bit. Maybe 66-1, maybe not quite big enough.
A couple of others have won this year. Mark Leishman, who's had a top four at Augusta before, and Adam Hadwin, the winner this year. He could go well. I mean, and on you go, Paul Casey, he's got a great record, really great record at Augusta National, top five last 2 years.
Yes, he has. He's a really strong outsider.
I would probably look at Casey in the top Englishman market. I know he's got to beat Rose, but I think when Casey absolutely does play his best here, I think
9-2 in that market, Dave.
Yeah, you're just getting that
Don't
bit more
value. Don't
you
think that's a trappy one, Dave? I take your point, and I'd probably be with you. But Hatton's playing well. Fitzpatrick was seventh here last year. Westwood plays well here. Fleetwood's playing well. Willett's the champion. Ross Fisher's playing well. and Andy Sullivan.
Now you say.
I looked at that market and I thought, God, blimey, any of them could win. I'm not so sure about Scott Gregory, God bless him, but the others. That looks really competitive to me. I think the English could have a very good week here at Augusta. A lot of those guys are in very good form.
Hatton's back to this kind of getting a bit hot-headed. Hatton does get a bit miffed, doesn't he, if things go wrong? So he'd be one I'd be a little bit worried about, even though his form is great.
He seems to shrug it off reasonably well, doesn't he? I take your point. It's a fair... This is a new challenge for him, isn't it? So... So we've mentioned all 19 players now.
Yeah, we didn't mention.
Well done, chaps.
Podcast.
Yeah, well done.
Just read out the rest of them. So we've covered them.
I'm gonna have to tie you down now, both to some picks that you're having for the Masters and also staking strategies as well. We'll start with yourself, Dave, because you've got plays in the outright market.
Yeah, so I'll go half a point each way. Bill Haas at 80-1. Those top eight places. Half a point each way. Brooks Koepka. At 66.
Small stakes, Dave.
Well, there's a theory behind this. Well, they are big prices, aren't they? So that's 2 points used up.
Yeah. Is that because you're having a 10-point bet on the hole-in-one on the fourth day?
I'll have 2 points on that hole-in-one at 8-1. Yeah. So that gets me to 4.
Yeah.
And then I'll have 4 points win, John Rahm to be top Spaniard. So if everything else goes wrong and Rahm wins, we make a profit.
Yeah, having said all I said about Sergio... I rate a little bit higher than you this week, but I do take your point. I think Rahm, I'm hoping he goes very well this week, having backed him on the post, but yeah, I get it. For me, I just think that there's some amazing value, there in the top of the market with 8 places, so you could almost pick any of them, and I could see any of them being placed. I'm going to wait, as I've said, to just see a little bit more of the tee times and the weather forecast, and maybe even wait for the first round to get back the way. One thing that we say every year, or I say every year, on this podcast, is that you need to start well here at Augusta.
Oh yeah, he's been in the top 10, I think.
Yeah, it's really that extreme.
Is that the start? Top 10?
Yeah, I think.
It's there or thereabouts, Sam. You've got to be within a couple of the lead. You can have a bad round in rounds 2 and 3 for some reason and be fine, but you've got to be up there in the bank from
the first round.
If you're chasing from after round one, it's just, if your bets don't start well, I just give them up and have to look elsewhere. Even, they just never get there. So that is, I might even wait till after round one. I'll be tweeting any bets that I do on the outright.
Just quickly, I think there's a stat where the winner has come from an afternoon tea time in round one the last 6 years, I think.
Right?
Yeah.
Which normally goes against, you normally think, he's got a nice early tea time, but at the Masters.
That's interesting.
Played out different. It'd be interesting to see that this year. You wait till the first round plays out and then back someone who started well from the afternoon crew. I might well look at that, to be fair. It's certainly a tactic that I was considering. So that's what I'm going to do on the outright. I would encourage people to think about Lee Westwood either each way or top 20, whichever people favour. I'm definitely doing one of those bets.
Yeah.
Freddy Couples for top senior. I can't resist that at 3-1 to pay for my bets this week and hopefully give us a bit of an interest. And I think the debutants, I think Rahm and Peters are really interesting contenders. It'll be fascinating to see how Peters plays this week. And yeah, good luck with Bill Hath.
Thank you.
Okay, excellent stuff then, chaps. There we are. Thoughts of Dave Tindall and Mike Grenham. You can follow the guys on Twitter. It's at Dave Tindall Golf and at M Grenham. If you want to follow DK Selections in as well, tweeting live from Nevada, he's at D Kellner on Twitter. You can follow myself at SamLorris_.
I'll definitely be tweeting, Dave, won't you? And just because yes. I haven't used up many stakes there, so I'll probably have 2 points on couples, by the way, at threes, just to give some staking. But I'll definitely be tweeting outright bets. I'm not going to have no bets on it. It's just biding my time. Mm.
And speaking of Twitter handles, I've just had a very interesting text through to my phone. Dave Kellner has recorded his piece live from Las Vegas.
From Las Vegas?
Live from Nevada.
Good timing.
It absolutely is, yeah.
So he sent an audio clip. Well, let's hear it then.
He sent an audio clip and we'll play it now. We can hear DK's thoughts on the Masters this week.
Apologies for not being on the podcast in person, but I'm recording this live from Las Vegas in Bally's Casino and I'm looking forward to the Masters as always. And just a bit of information just before I get to the tips. I was speaking to Jimmy Vaccaro, who's an established legend of the Las Vegas bookmaking industry, at the South Point Casino on Monday. And he says that all the money they've fielded, or a lot of the money they've fielded, has been for Jon Rahm. And he was trading at 10-1 at the South Point Casino in Las Vegas. And that is very, very short. Rahm has said that he thinks this course suits him better than any other course that he's played on the PGA Tour, so that's interesting. And I do think he will go well. Just slightly concerned about his chipping. I think that's a negative for Jon Rahm. And of course, he's a first-timer at Augusta National as well. As for my bets, I'm going with Jason Day to win the Masters. 3 times the price he was last year. And I think he's good value. I know he's got off-course issues at the moment with his mother, who's very ill, but I think that he will be feeling relieved that the doctors are making progress with Jason Day's mum. And I think Day will go well, played brilliantly on his Masters debut, that was about 5 years ago now, and followed that up with a third subsequently. I finished 10th last year, and I think with that little bit of pressure off, he'll go out and enjoy himself. He'll be freewheeling this week. And I think Jason Day, at 3 times the price he was last year, represents the value at the top of the betting. The other two selections I like, Ricky Fowler, who played well last week, inexplicably shot 80 in his first round last year, and that scuppered his chance of claiming his first major championship. But this man was top five in all four majors a couple of years back now, and played really well in Houston last week. I think his game's coming nicely to the boil at just the right point. So Ricky Fowler at around 20-1 will be my second selection. And for a wild outsider here, I'll go with Daniel Berger, who has an ideal preparation with his 5th place finish last week in Houston. Similar to last year as well, finished 5th last year in Houston, went on to finish 10th in his opening performance at the Masters. I think he'll play well this week, got the power game required for Augusta National, putting really well this season as well, so I'll go with Daniel Berger. So 3 selections for me. I'm going with Jason Day, I'm going with Ricky Fowler, and I'm going with Daniel Berger. Good luck with your bets, chaps. Look forward to catching up with you when I'm back in the country on Thursday. And I'm looking forward to the Masters. 4 fun days, enjoyable days at Augusta National to come.
Interesting to hear the thoughts of Dave Kellner there. Rahm is on his mind, who I know you two both gave a pretty positive mention to.
Short in Vegas, though,
yeah,
Sammy.
Exactly.
10-1.
Very interesting, that. Mm. Very interesting.
Well, good picks from Dave. I think we like Rahm, but
yeah, I really like
that price.
I really like Fowler. That
like
I agree
Fowler,
with. I can see where he's coming from. Jason Day,
yeah,
and Daniel Berger, top 10 last year.
Fair play to him, Dan.
Yeah,
that was great timing. Just caught us at the end of the podcast. So
give him his credit. Yeah. Good stuff, and do check out all the betting on the William Hill website. We have plenty of supporting markets, and of course, remember we are 8 places each
did
way.
Did we mention
the odds? I'm not sure we did.
All right, well, we've got it in at the game.
Only
anyway,
the 8 times,
yeah.
Eight times for each place. You get 8 places each way on the 81st Masters. Thank you very much,
chaps. It's a license to print money, Sam, isn't it? It's a license to print money.
Absolutely, Mike. Like finding money in the street.
8-1 for that hole in one as well. It's all about the 8.
I like that bet, Dave.
I do
as well. Really nice stat, that 3 times last year, and you got 8-1. That's, yeah. Nice one.
Thank you very much then, chaps, and best of luck with the Masters this week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.